So this week we're looking at this topic. It wasn't there a second ago. It's a pure imagination, which is all about being made in the image of God. Now that might be a phrase some of you have heard before. It might be something you've never heard before. But that little phrase there, made in the image of God, that's in Genesis, which is the first book in the Bible. And we're going to come on to that a little bit at all times. So just to run you through my life, I'm not going to run you through all of my life because it's quite a long life so far, but I grew up in a good home. Some of you know my parents, Les and Alison. They're like, they're like great parents. They're amazing. Raised me really well. Always made me feel like I was loved. And I don't know about you, but when you're a kid at primary school age, in fact, I've got a picture of me at primary school just so you can get a picture. That's what I look like. How cute is that? How cute is that? Actually, you can't see, it's cropped out. I got a toy dolphin for my birthday, and we'll talk about the toy animals next tomorrow night, but I love these things, and that's like the look of pure, I'm so excited, I've got a dolphin! And that's my mum, that's Alison Howard there. So that's what I look like. If you go into the next one, so you're not distracted by my cuteness, there we go. I grew up, and I had this quite a good upbringing, but at some point, I don't know exactly when it happened, when I was young, I started to care what other people thought of me. Because when you're really young, like you're 4 or 5, you don't really care what people think. You run around, you play with crayons, you eat mud, you do like whatever you want to do. You're not really fussed, what's this person thinking of me if I do this thing? You just get on with it. But then at some point, you start thinking, oh, well, if I do that, that person will think that about me, that person will think that. And I can't pinpoint exactly when that happened in my life, but it was sometime between being really young and probably starting secondary school. In fact, probably a bit earlier than that, because I remember when I was about 9 or 10 going to school. I don't even know if the school's still there in Peterborough. I think it's been closed now. But I had a group of friends, and we sort of liked the same things, and we didn't like the same things. But if I look back, I sort of realised that maybe I pretended to like the same things as them, and maybe I pretended to not like the same things as them. So there was this TV show at the time called Digimon. Have we got a picture of Digimon? Does anyone remember Digimon? It was amazing. It was so good. So it's about these, like, obviously, like, it was made in Japan because all this sort of thing is. But so these, like, Japanese kids, they got sent off to, like, an alternate universe, and they had these little monsters that started off, like, really cute, but then they would, like, get bigger and bigger. If in hindsight, it's like a total rip-off of Pokemon, but obviously I didn't see that at the time. And I thought it was amazing. But none of my friends liked it. Like, not a single one of them. Me and my brother, we loved it. Like, the day it was on, we'd rush home from school to watch it, but my mates didn't like it. So when I was at school, I used to pretend I didn't like it, and even to the point where I'd tease people for having, like, a Digimon backpack. I'd be like, ha, I can't believe you got that. It's ripping off Pokemon. And then sort of secretly be like, flip, I wish I had that backpack. I don't know if that ever happened to you as well. But, like, you pretend you hate something because your mates do. But, yeah, that was something that that I really liked, that I pretended I didn't. And this came to a head one day where I was going to my friend's house after school, and he was one of the friends who didn't like Digimon. And it was the day Digimon was on, so I was going to not be able to see it because I was going to his house. And this was like a big deal, because if I missed one, then I'd be out of the loop and I wouldn't know what had happened and all that stuff. So I remember saying to him, his name was Christian, I was proper sly. I said, Christian, why don't we watch Digimon and, like, make fun of it? Wouldn't that be really good? And he was like, yeah, that sounds like a really good idea. So we got there and, like, we turned it on, and maybe for the first 2 minutes we were making fun of it. But then sort of the mocking stopped and we were just sort of watching it. And they used to have, it was on ITV, so there was breaks. And I remember in the break, sat there in Christian's living room, watching the TV. He was sat on this side. And I could see into his kitchen, which was where, like, his washing machine and dryer and all that were. And I looked over and his mum was there doing the washing. And she was putting a Digimon duvet case into the washing machine. And I was thinking, that's probably not hers. That's probably his. And then I sort of clicked at that moment. He likes it as well. But just like me, he's pretending not to because he's worried about what I think. So we were in this odd position where we were watching something that we didn't like. I was pretending not to like it. He was pretending not to like it. And I wanted him to think I didn't like it. And he wanted me to think I didn't like it. But then at that moment, it was like a release, because it was like, flip, we both like this. High five, this is amazing. But obviously, the next day when we got back to school, we again went to pretending we didn't like it just in front of all of our mates. And we went back to teasing the kids who were open about the fact that they liked it. Let me drink some water. So that's obviously a bit of a silly example, but I think stuff like that's true for all of us. That maybe we become so obsessed with what people think of us, we pretend not to like things that we actually like, or we pretend to like things that actually we don't. And I think often that's because we maybe get a bit of our security from what other people think of us. So if we think people like us, we feel a bit better about ourselves. And maybe if we think we don't like the right sort of things, maybe people don't like us because of that, that we start to feel bad about ourselves. And I think, although for me that showed itself in Digimon, for different people that shows itself in so many different ways, whether it's music, sport, even the way we are around other people, I think we can become really obsessed with what other people think. So this week we're looking at this idea of the image of God, and that links quite strongly with that story. So just to give you a brief history of where we are in the story of the Bible when we come to the image of God bit. Genesis is the first book in the Bible, and it's a book all about beginnings. It's the first book, and it tells you how God made the world, and the important thing in Genesis is what it says about God, what it says about people, and what it says about how people are supposed to relate to God. When you read Genesis, you need to be thinking, oh, what is this saying about what God's like? What's this saying about what people are like? So what we're going to do to start with, we're going to read Genesis 1, verse 24 to 31, and it's up here, so I'm going to read it out. You've probably got different versions. I've sort of lumped a few versions in together, so it's a bit messy. You probably won't have the same thing as this, but I'll let you all find it, and then I'll just start reading it. So just to set the scene a bit before this, before we come to verse 24, God has made the world, and God has made all the sort of physical stuff in it, but there's nothing alive in it. So there's cliffs, there's trees, there's mountains, there's all the stars in the sky, all the planets and all that stuff, but there's no life on earth except trees, if you count trees. So this is from verse 24. God spoke, earth, generate life, every sort and every kind, cattle and reptiles and wild animals, all kinds. And there it was, wild animals of every kind, cattle of all kinds, every sort of reptile and bug. God saw that it was good. God spoke, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature, so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of earth. God created human beings. He created them in his image, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. Next one. God bless them, prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge, be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of earth. Then God said, I've given you every sort of seed-bearing plant on earth and every kind of fruit-bearing tree, given them to you for food. To all animals and all birds, everything that moves and breathes, I give whatever grows out of the ground for food. And there it was. God looked over everything he had made. It was so good, so very good. It was evening, it was morning, day six. So, just to recap there, at the start of the story, God looked at the world and it was good. But then he made people and he looked at the world and it was very good. So the difference between no people in the world and people in the world is the word very. Now to try and communicate that, I thought of some examples. So Nando's is good, but free Nando's because you filled up your card is very good. Big fan over there. Hot days, so like when the sun's shining, they're good. But when it's a hot day and you're off work and you're off school, that is very good, that's right. And finally, Sunday afternoon naps are good. But Sunday afternoon naps on fresh bed sheets, they are very good. Has anyone else got an example of that? Like, I didn't know if anyone else had thought of one. Nope, that's fine. We'll come back to that later. That's all right. So it's like, it's, oh yeah, go for it. Yeah. Oh. That's more than very good. That's another level of very good, yeah. So it's like this thing, but it's this thing plus something else. It's like the cherry on top of the cake. It's like the thing that makes it even better. That's what humans were to the world. Before humans, it was good. After humans, it was very good. And there's a reason for that. There's something in humans that isn't in any of the other animals. There's something special about us that makes us different to the birds, to the animals, to the fish, to everything. And that's called the image of God. That's the fact that God made humans in his image in a way that he didn't make any of the other animals. And that's what makes humans so valuable and so important to God. It's what took the world from good to very good, and it's the most important things about us. So often we can try and build our lives on so many different things, so what people think, our image, and anything like that. But actually, right at the start of the Bible, in this book, Genesis, God puts in the reason, the thing that we're meant to build our lives on, and that's the fact that we're made in his image. That's the thing that's meant to be the bedrock of our identity. And God's saying by putting this in, this is what I want you to build your life on. This is what I want you to build your security on. Not on anything else, not on what other people think, but the fact that I've made you in my image. And I think that's really important. That's often something we can miss. And another story, this is from when I was a bit older, when I was at secondary school. It's important before I tell the story that, you know, I wasn't a very well-dressed teenager, like, at all. I wouldn't claim to be particularly well dressed today. In fact, I noticed I've got like a little hole in my t-shirt there that I didn't realise until I looked in the mirror just like maybe an hour ago. So I'm shabby chic, that's it. But yeah, I was an especially bad dressed teenager. Like, I didn't really think about what I wore or anything like that. And that wasn't really a problem until I came to a certain age. But yeah, it's important you know that. So I don't know if they still do this at school, but they used to have non-uniform days. Do they still do that? Where you don't have to wear uniform, yeah. And basically, so you'd bring in a pound and you could wear whatever you wanted and the money would go to charity and whatever. And like, obviously the staff at the school thought this is a really good idea. We raise some money, kids get to wear what they want. Brilliant. But I don't know if this is still true, but when I was at school, I went to what is now Neen Park Academy, but was also Longville School. same school. Sorry, I lost my train of thought now. Thanks, Jen. Yeah, sorry, so non-uniform days. So I don't know if this is still true, but the cool kids used to sort of treat this like a fashion show. So I always got the impression maybe they'd been shopping the weekend before and got like the coolest, like it was Supercrombie, like that's a lot of Superdry and Abercrombie together. They used to like have the best clothes and that sort of thing, and they'd come in like that sort of thing, like making sure they were looking amazing. I don't know if that still happens now, but that was definitely how it was then. And like I said, I wasn't particularly well-dressed, so I used to just go in what I would be wearing at home. So I remember this one time, I came in just a plain grey t-shirt, black Reebok joggers, and my school shoes, because all my other shoes were sort of out of action for some reason. I don't know what possessed me to go like that. But as you can imagine, my friends, and this was when like I was 15, I wasn't like 8, do you know what I mean? I was 15 and I went to school like this. So no offence, if you choose to dress like that, that's cool, but this wasn't like out of choice, this was just that I hadn't like thought about it. And obviously I got a lot of teasing that day, and obviously mates give each other banter and that sort of thing, that's fine. But not just from my mates, from like passers-by in school, I got teased. And like that was fine, like, I didn't really mind that much. Until like right at the end of the day, when we had science, and our teacher was pretty bad, like he didn't really have good control of the class, and non-uniform days, people don't tend to do much work anyway. But I remember the sort of the cool kids, the cool girls in the class, they went round and they rated how well people were dressed. And I was not ready for this. I don't remember exactly what they rated me as, but it was the lowest in the class, basically. It was not a good score. And that, like, that had a real effect on me, because before that, I didn't really care what I dressed like. I didn't really think it was that important. I never really thought about it particularly, hence going to school dressed like I did. And I was really annoyed at myself afterwards, like, oh, no, I've got better clothes than that. Why did I go out like that? A little bit annoyed at my parents as well for not checking what I was wearing before I went to school. But I can't blame that. Blame that on them. But yeah, so I can sort of see, looking back on my life, from then on, I became really obsessed, not necessarily with what I wore, but how I came across to other people. And it was caught in this difficult place where I didn't know what looked good. My family didn't really have very much money, so I used to get hand-me-downs from my brother and my cousin. So I used to be wearing clothes that was like two sizes too big, which, I mean, you might think that looks gangster, but I can't really pull off gangster. So it just looked messy and it didn't look good. And because I didn't know what looked good, but I was really obsessed with what people thought. It meant sometimes I'd be really scared of leaving the house when we were going out somewhere, because I was like, oh no, I've not got the good clothes, I'm not going to look good. And that had a really big effect on me. And I remember actually the first time, I was probably about, it's probably the same sort of year, so 15, 16, first time my mum ever let me buy my own shoes. And at the time, it was quite cool to have like brown sort of battered looking shoes. I don't know if that actually was cool, but that's what I thought was cool. I thought like everyone was wearing these sort of brown battered shoes. So she said, oh yeah, you go into the shop and pick out shoes that you want, up to like, I don't know, £25, and we'll get them. So I went over and I was like, right, I need something that looks sort of brown and battered, but they didn't really have anything like that. But then I saw these sandals, and I was like, ah, they're brown, they're a bit battered, and they weren't like sandals with like only one strap, they had loads of straps, so it pretty much covered your foot, and they were really wide as well, like, they were like that wide. They were not good shoes, but I thought, those are the ones, those are my shoes, so I got them, and I remember my mum was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, these are great. I remember wearing them in the dressing room, and literally this thought went through my head, everything's going to be different now. Like, genuinely, I thought that. And looking back, I think, oh, what was I doing? Such a mistake. But, yeah, I mean, you can probably tell now, I'm not too fussed. Like, I regularly, not too fussed about what I wear. So I regularly go to the shops or go into town in just a hoodie and joggers just because I'm not fussed now. But when I was that age, it became, like, a really big thing. And that experience on non-uniform day, that was 8 years ago, and sometimes now I still struggle with that. And I think something happened 8 years ago where some people said some nasty things. They probably didn't even do it for a mean reason. They just probably did it because they thought, well, I don't know, but it probably wasn't for a mean reason. And that still has an effect on me now. Now, obviously, I'm not saying caring about fashion is wrong. It's not at all. Dress how you want. Dress cool, dress emo-y. It doesn't really matter. That's not the point. The point is about what you're building your life on. And for me, I was almost paralyzed with this fear that because I didn't have the right clothes, people weren't going to think good thoughts about me. And that really stunted me as a person. It didn't let me move on. And that's just my example. I was sort of, my thing was about what people were wearing and what I was wearing. But it could be anything with you. It could be about the way you are around other people. It could be liking the right sports teams. It could be watching the right TV shows or whatever. Because we can be so quick to forget who made us and how he made us and start to build our lives on these other things and start to care about these other things that really don't matter. Because we're special not because of what we wear or even what we say or what we do. We're special because of something that's in us already. And it's not something we can change. You can't become less in the image of God. You were just made that way. You can't escape that. And that should be really good news because it means you don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. It's in you already. And I think that's such a beautiful gift that God has given us. And I don't remember exactly when I started to have that revelation, but I can see the difference in how I live now to how I lived when I was paralyzed with fear about what I wore. Like now I realize I'm valuable, and it's not because of anything I've done. I'm important. It's not because of me. It's just because of something that's in me already. And I bet in a group of young people this size, there are people that probably struggle with the same thing I did about what they wear. But there'll be definitely people who struggle with what other people are thinking of them all the time. And some of you, maybe that's at different levels. Maybe some of you, that's not very strong. But in others of you, that's going to be really strong, much stronger than I ever felt it. And the problem with that is it's never done. You're never cool enough. You never have quite the best clothes. There's always someone more well-dressed than you. And if you're obsessed with sort of being thinner, there's always someone thinner, and you can always get thinner. And you always can get prettier. And it's just not a good thing to build your life on because there's no end to it. And you just end up doing yourself damage. And God's given us this blueprint in our lives that we're made in his image. And that was true from the very beginning. Now, I heard this quote, and it's quite complicated. Like, there's lots of sort of... Well, it'll come up in a sec. So it took me a while to unpack it. So we'll go through it. Our self-esteem is mostly related to how we think the most important person to us feels about us. Okay, let me read that again. Put it back on. There we go. Our self-esteem is mostly related to how we think the most important person to us feels about us. So just sort of explain that. If Matt Wilde is the most important person to me, and I think he likes me, then that's going to make me, like, whether or not he does, that's going to make me feel better. But if he doesn't like me, and he's the most important person, that's really going to affect how I live my life. And I heard this, like, maybe a month ago, and it was one of those ones where you're like, yeah, but I'm not sure. But the more I think about it, actually it's true. I find that talking to lots of people, their self-worth's not that great. Like, they've got a really bad image of themselves. And you sort of, through talking to them, you find out, oh, maybe the most important person to them's this person. Like, maybe it's their mum. And maybe their mum walked out on them a few years ago. Now, that's going to have a massive effect on how you view yourself. Because the most important person to you, maybe you think they don't love you because they've left. And that might not be true. But just because you think it, that can affect how you think about yourself. Yeah, so just take a second with that quote after you've written it down. Just think about it. Maybe think about who is the most important person to you and what do they think of you. Like, I think often with the important people around us, this is a bit of an aside, but often with the people around us who are really important to us, we don't always tell them how important to us they are. And often you sort of think it's implied that because they're your mates, they know you love them. But sometimes it's good to just say it. Like, something I always saw in my parents was my dad would always tell my mum that he loved her. Like, I'd hear it at least 3 or 4 times a week. He was really big on that. And it's not like she was scared he'd stop loving her. It was just he wanted to keep saying it. And I think that sort of thing can be true in friendships as well. Sometimes it's a bit weird. Like, you don't want to be saying every time, oh, I love you so much. Like, that sort of thing. You know, do it in a real way, not in a weird sort of way. But yeah, I think if we believe this quote, the next question has to be, who is the most important person to me? It could be anyone. Like, it could be like your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your sister, your mum, whoever. And working out who that person is, that's really important. I found as well, like, growing up, before I had a real revelation of God, often, like, the girl who I was attracted to at that particular time, and when you're like, I don't know, 12, 13, often that can change depending on what week it is, that girl is the most important person. And if they're not giving you any sort of signals, because they're 12, you have no idea what signals are, especially a 12-year-old boy, no idea what a signal is. If you get, if you're not getting any signals, you think they hate you and your self-worth just goes straight away. And that's not a really good place to put your self-worth in terms of how someone else feels about you. But what if God was the most important person to us? What if the person who was most important and most valuable to us was someone who just loved us no matter what? And we could feel that love because we're confident that he doesn't change in that and that we're made in his image. Well, then surely we could never feel worthless because we acted the wrong way. We could never feel unimportant or unvaluable. We wouldn't really care about how we were dressed or anything like that. It would all just be natural that we would we'd feel confident in ourselves. I don't know if any of you saw the film, the Exodus film that came out like a few months ago. I went to see it on Boxing Day with my dad, and it was all right. It wasn't amazing. Like, don't rush out to buy it on DVD when it comes out. But there was this one bit in it that was really good with Pharaoh, who's like Moses' brother, and all these plagues are coming on Egypt, if you know the story, and like lots of bad stuff's happening. Like, there's this wicked bit where all the crocodiles are in the river. And has anyone seen it? No one said, to be fair, that bit's amazing. Like, there's all these crocodiles in the river biting people. It's amazing. But, like, properly horrific stuff is happening to Egypt. There's locusts, there's boils, there's all this stuff, and, like, darkness. Like, really horrific things are happening. But Pharaoh's son, who's probably, like, 8 or 9 years old, he's sleeping soundly in his bed, and Pharaoh makes this comment. He sleeps because he knows he's loved. And Pharaoh can't sleep. He's staying up all night trying to guard his son, make sure nothing happens. And he's getting no rest. But his son, who all this bad stuff's happening around him, he sleeps fine because he feels like he's loved. And that really jumped out at me, that actually when you know you're loved and you know that the most important person to you loves you, then that sort of gives you rest. And it means you can sort of chill out and you don't have to worry about what other people think. So yeah, that was the bit of Exodus that jumped out at me. So rounding up what I'm saying, the question that I want to ask to you is, what would it be like in your life, what would it look like to be utterly convinced that God loved you wholeheartedly and for God to be the most important person to you? How would that change how you sort of make everyday decisions about what you do, who you talk to, how you spend your money, how you spend your time, all that stuff? Would your life change at all? Would it change massively? I think that's a really important question. Because like I said, we're made in the image of God. There's something of God within us that's different to all the animals, different to everything else in the world. And there's absolutely nothing you can do to make him love you any less.